Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Stu does America.
If you would, take a moment and follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/Stu Does America. Subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. We've got Rob Eno coming up with his reaction to the biggest media fails in Minnesota. There has been some crazy drama between Josh Shapiro and Kamala Harris. That's going to be fun. We'll look at that. But we start by doing something that you may have thought was impossible. Yes, it's possible. We're doing Don Lemon's new low. Yes, he's hit a new one. And you might thought, well, wait a minute, wasn't he already the lowest form of humanity that's available? And that's pretty much true. But if he's hitting a new one today. If you remember, Don Lemon, a little history lesson here, used to be on CNN. He then was, he got fired for basically telling women that they peak at 25 or something. I don't know, very strange segment. And I don't know how he would know anything about them, frankly. Apparently he doesn't. And so he got fired from that job. He then went to Twitter for like a week. And then Elon Musk was like, I'm not giving you anything. You're a disaster. At least that's how I remember it. And now he's kind of just like walking around with his phone. That's kind of the way this has ended for Don. And look, there's some really good journalism that gets done that way these days. This is not the old timey days where you can't get anything accomplished. And I will say Don did manage to get himself in the papers today. So. You got that going on for you. Anti-ICE mob storms Minnesota church over pastor's alleged ties to immigration enforcement. Very strange allegation, very strange situation. Here is Don Lemon following some of these ICE protesters, anti-ICE protesters, into an actual house of worship.
Tell us why you're doing this.
This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there. And then we disrupt business as usual. So that's what we're about to go do right now. Demanding justice for Renee Good and letting them know that this will not stand. They cannot pretend to be a house of God while harboring someone who is directing ICE agents to wreak havoc upon our community and who killed Renee Good.
You'd be surprised to know none of that's accurate. But it was interesting to see Don, before this whole situation began, interviewing the people and finding out all about their plans. But I mean, it's an interesting one. Here is Don narrating a little of his own video here as they covered the protests.
So you can see the protesters here have gathered over here. They're in the middle of the church. So in the beginning of the church service, the pastor was speaking, and Nakima stood up and said her piece, and then the protesters surrounded her. But this is a clandestine mission. I think they found out according to Operation Pull Up, that one of the pastors here is a member of ICE. And so here we go.
You could talk to the pastor.
Yeah.
Let me show you.
Yeah. Okay. So
is Don using those stupid glasses to do that? Is that where he's getting that video? Any opinion on that? Any thoughts? Is that what he's doing?
It looked like it,
because the way the camera's moving, I just pictured Don with the stupid Meta glasses walking around taking video. I don't know. Just seems really goofy. By the way, a weird accusation, right, that a pastor at the church is running a part of ICE, a local chapter of ICE. I don't seem to know whether that's actually accurate or not. I've seen reporting on kind of, no one seems to be sure. In fact, we asked Harmeet Dhillon today on the radio show, hey, was there a guy that was involved with ICE? She said she had no information on it. They don't know. They're investigating it. What was fascinating about that is, first of all, you might know that even if he happens to be working for the federal government in some capacity, that does not make it okay to go and ransack his church or interrupt a service. That's not okay anyway, even if you're right. Also, the guy wasn't even there, that they were trying to target in this clandestine opportunity operation that they're, you know, performing on live streaming video. So we don't even know if it's true, but he wasn't even there, even if it was true. So yeah, typical, the factual basis on these things, not always a strong suit. Let me give you one more clip of what happened inside the church. Here they are chanting for Renee Good.
Justice for Renee Good! Justice for Renee Good! Justice for Renee Good! Justice for Renee Good! Justice for Renee Good!
We need justice! We need justice! We need justice!
Okay, there is a bunch of morons. I guess it's what I was showing you there with all the video. This is idiotic. You might be interested to hear, and we'll get into Don Lemon's views on this particular moment in a little bit, but you are not actually able to do what they did. I mean, you can physically do it, as they I guess, accomplished, but you can't legally do what they did. We have a very strong tradition, of course, in this country of the right to protest. That is something that is fundamentally ingrained in our society and something that's very important for us to protect. That being said, we also have one that, gives you freedom to exercise your religion and to worship. And the problem with all of this, of course, is you went in there with your loud chanting and stopped people from their ability to execute their First Amendment right for a right to be able to go to church services and be able to worship as you please. That's very, very important as well. Those things bump into each other, and the law is very clear on which side wins when those two do bump into each other. DOJ vowing to press charges after activists disrupt church, where Minnesota ICE official is a pastor. Again, still some disagreement on that, but they're reporting, ABC News is reporting, he protested. This is a Nakima Levy Armstrong. She's one of the heads of the anti-ICE protest part of this. She participated in the protest and leads the local grassroots civil rights organization Racial Justice Network, dismissed the potential DOJ investigation as a sham and a distraction from federal agents' actions in Minneapolis-St. Paul. When you think about the federal government unleashing barbaric ICE agents upon our community and all the harm that they have caused, to have someone serving as a pastor who oversees these ICE agents is almost unfathomable to me, said Armstrong, who added she's an ordained reverend. Obviously. By the way, Reverend, you might be interested to note that we don't care what your opinion is on this particular topic. The law doesn't care either. The law does not care if you think you should be a pastor and be the head of ICE, the president of ICE, the king of ICE. None of that matters at all to the law. And I think you're about to find that out. Now here, she is posting this particular clip. This is a post, I think, on is it Facebook. Friends, here's a clip of our demonstration this morning at City's Church in St. Paul. David Easterwood is a pastor at this church and the acting field director for the ICE office in St. Paul. It's time for judgment to begin, and it will begin in the house of God. Thank you to all the activists who showed up, and independent journalists, Georgia Fort, Don Lemon, Da Woke Farmer 2. Now, you should be aware that Da Woke Farmer 1 was taken. Da Woke Farmer 2 and Brixton Hughes. Special thanks to Monique Colors Doty, Chantil Allen, Satara Strong Allen for co-organizing this mission from Black Lives Matter Minnesota, Black Lives Matter Twin Cities Metro, along with Racial Justice Network. They couldn't keep those. There is one that was Minnesota. They didn't. It was just so packed they had to have a separate Twin Cities Metro version of Black Lives Matter so they could get more vacation homes. You got to make sure. Look, and to be fair, they're in Minnesota. They want to go on vacation a lot. Perhaps it is the right thing to do to just give them some beachside property somewhere because it's freaking cold there. Anyway, what's interesting about this is what, because I noticed this right away. I was like, this seems like a bad idea if you happen to be this person. And Banshee over at Red State said the same thing. She just posted everyone involved and then pinned it to her profile. Incredible, which it kind of is, because what's happened there is a crime. So normally you don't necessarily post everybody involved in the crime, but apparently that was okay. Attorney General Pam Bondi decided to tweet on this. I just spoke to the pastor of Minnesota whose church was targeted. Attacks against law enforcement and the intimidation of Christians are being met with the full force of federal law. State leaders refuse to act responsibly to prevent lawlessness. Department of Justice will remain mobilized to prosecute federal crimes and ensure that the rule of law prevails. Now, we did speak to Harmy Dillon earlier today on the radio show, as mentioned. She indicated they were going to go forward with going after these people. There's a lot of unease about Pam Bondi's ability to follow up on things like this. I know I get a lot of complaints. I talk to people a lot, and they just don't like the fact that these arrests haven't already occurred. Not necessarily in this case, but previous cases, and they're worried about the arrests in this case occurring because they don't view this particular DOJ as following up as much as they should on this sort of stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly a motivating factor, I think, to the president. And we will see if this continues to go on. I do think, though, that, you know, the Tim Walz idea of, well, since I'm not involved in this anymore, I'm dropping out of the race, they're going to give up. I don't think that's what conservatives are doing right now with the story. I'm talking about the corruption. I'm talking about what's going on in Minneapolis, the targeting of ICE agents. This is an animating factor for voters on the right now, and I don't think they're going to give up on it. We will see if the DOJ is able to kind of go a little bit farther. Career activists who disrupted Minneapolis worship church service also targeted Hegseth DC church. So not the first time. William Kelly, a self-described combat veteran, was captured on video storming into the sanctuary with a mob of other activists associated with Black Lives Matter and the Racial Justice Network. The demonstrators chanted, this is unbelievable, hands up, don't shoot, and screamed at congregants, labeling them fake Christians because one of the church's pastors also serves as an ICE field director. You believe they're still chanting, hands up, don't shoot? This is something that was debunked years and years and years ago. It was supposed to, was it Michael Brown? I can't even remember what case this was. And supposedly, it was rumored for a long time that he said, hands up, don't shoot, and then got shot. And that wound up becoming a rallying cry for many on the left who would go into various situations against law enforcement who had no desire or willingness or interest, really, in shooting them because they were largely boring. They just kept saying, hands up, don't shoot. We then, of course, found out that Michael Brown said nothing like that. Actually, the story was completely wrong, and he actually had all sorts of, there was reasons why that incident occurred that were quite clear, including assault and theft. Whole different situation, though. But continue to just kind of spout it out there. Hands up, don't shoot, over and over and over again. Now, Don Lemon, back to our Don Lemon storyline here. He's defending protesters who stormed Minneapolis church service, believing that pastor was ICE-affiliated. The former CNN host defended the disruption of the service by anti-rice rioters, claiming they were acting in a manner similar to civil rights protesters. This is the beginning of what's going to happen here when you violate people's due process. When you pull people off the street, you start dragging them and hurting them and not abiding by the Constitution. You start doing all that and people get upset and angry, Lemon said, seemingly justifying it the whole way. Remember what the civil rights movement was about. Civil rights movement was about these very kinds of protests. Not at all, just to be clear, they were not at all like this. Not at all. What was happening in that situation was completely unjust. This is not a situation like that at all. You know, back in the day, there were times where the United States was very much letting itself down on its own standards like the idea that all men were created equal, and not treating that as a legitimate part of our country, really part of our foundation. That's not the situation here. We're talking about people, in many cases, as we went over, I think it was last week, child molesters, murderers, people who are wanted for multiple instances of homicide. And we've got idiotic morons like Don Lemon thinking that's the same as the civil rights situation. It's not at all. These are not one thing. One of these things is not like the other. And again, you see Don's opinion here, right? When you do these things, well, of course, this is going to happen. When you're mean to the people that I like, well, of course, we're going to go and disrupt these church services. Again, probably going to get Don in at least some trouble. Some possibilities of trouble. I don't know if Don's going to get in trouble for this one, but here he is one more time talking to this pastor who was harassed at his own church, who is the victim of a crime, along with everybody else inside of that auditorium or church. We'll talk about why that's a crime here in just a second. But here is Don with his I mean, you know, look, Don Lemon's a moron. Okay, we've known this for a very long time. Don Lemon's an idiot. But Don Lemon also thinks he knows something about not only civil rights, but also apparently the First Amendment, which he knows nothing about. Here he is blabbering about it.
What do you think of this?
I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there were folks who said,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
and my
but
family.
Listen, we live in a Constitution and the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
What else is there?
We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me, though.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here. Yeah. Okay. That's why we're here.
Okay.
That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding
and love these people?
To try to talk to them as a Christian.
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I ask that you actually would also leave this building.
You don't want us to
unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to worship. Yeah. We're here to worship. Okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You can just almost sense the deep Christianity of Don Lemon in that moment, can't you? I mean, it's almost overwhelming. The spirit just jumping through your phone or your computer or your TV. It's just the Don Lemon version of Christianity is a little overwhelming for some. I will say it's too bright. The lights of God, a little too bright through Don. I will say, Don, again, I mentioned this before, is an idiot. And that's a problem for his analysis on the First Amendment. The First Amendment does not very much not allow you to go into a church service and disrupt it and prevent people who are in the middle of executing their First Amendment rights to be able to worship. This is quite clear. It's very clear in the law. We'll go through that here in a second. But he should know. And as to whether Jesus would be understanding, I'm sure he'd be understanding. I mean, he's pretty aware of most situations. He's actually a well-informed individual. But I will say, stopping people from worshiping God, not necessarily the thing I think Jesus is most excited about, let's say. I'm just, you know, just a theory. Again, I'm not a theologian, but I am a thinker. Now, why is Don Lemon in trouble, potentially, for breaking the law? Certainly the people in the church that came and did this protest, why are they in trouble? Well, multiple reasons, but MAGA, they're saying MAGA calls for Don Lemon to be arrested under FACE Act after a Minnesota church protest. Don Lemon, independent broadcaster since his departure from CNN. Departure, an interesting word. I mean, he did leave, so I mean, it was a departure. He was interviewing the participants during a live stream before they entered the church. He then followed the group inside as they chanted ICE out and accused the pastor of collaborating with the agency. Worshippers in attendance subsequently left in droves, one churchgoer saying, these people have come into our house and they've interrupted our worship. Interesting wording there. Everybody's gone home. Their point has been proven worthless. And so in the end, I think they lose. I feel violated. I feel interrupted. I feel angry. Now, why is it important to note that a house of worship being interrupted is key to all of this talk about potential arrests in the future? It's because of the FACE Act. Now, there are other laws that they're trying to push, and we'll see what comes of that. But the FACE Act is kind of central to this. And if you remember what the FACE Act is, we've talked about it many times. FACE Act was a law that was, I think you could say, arguably well-intentioned, at least by some, which we kind of all have interacted with, at least through the conservative media, through the eyes of people like Catholic protesters who have gone and stood outside of abortion clinics and said, hey, you know, we don't think you should abort your kids. That if there's any sort of impediment to stop, to having someone go into an abortion clinic, like if someone wants to go into an abortion clinic, a woman's going in there, you can talk to her, you can shout at her, you can say things to try to convince her to stop and make sure that, you know, her baby gets born. That being said, you can't physically stop them from doing that. You can't stop them from walking in. You can't block the way. You can't set up a barricade. You can't do any of those things. Now, as we know, leftist protests do this stuff all the time. In fact, they're doing it to federal agents all the time. Good herself was blocking the roadway for ICE agents. That is something you're not allowed to do. However, the FACE Act specifically deals with it when it comes to abortion clinics and similar facilities. Now, what we haven't talked a lot about is part two of the FACE Act. Let me show you the exact text of the important segment here. And this is the exact text of the law. And we go through the first part. Prohibited activities. Whoever by force or threat of force or by physical obstruction intentionally injures, intimidates, or interferes with or attempts to injure, intimidate, or interfere with any person because that person has been in or in order to intimidate such person or other person or any class of persons from obtaining or providing reproductive health services. So specifically talks about abortion clinics basically here. You can't impede them. You can't stop them. You can't physically get in the way. You can't do any of that stuff. You can't intimidate them. You could try to convince them. You could try to persuade them. You could say what you're doing is totally wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But you can't physically do that, and you can't threaten them, for example. You can't say, if you go in there and do that, I'm going to blow up your car. Can't do any of that stuff. Okay, so that's the part we've talked about quite a bit. Part two, and why did this get through? Part of it was because of part two. Basically, the left said, well, we want you to stop you from, you know, stopping people from going to abortion clinics. And the right said, well, fine, but, like, we want you to stop interrupting church services. Okay, so here's the text of the part that's going to potentially burn a lot of these protesters. This is prohibited. Whoever by force or threat of force or by physical obstruction intentionally injures, intimidates, or interferes with or attempts to injure, intimidate, or interfere with any person lawfully exercising or seeking to exercise the First Amendment right of religious freedom at a place of religious worship. There's a little bit more to the law, not necessarily a germane here, but the bottom line is that if you do exactly what they did, you are committing a crime against every person inside the church. Every person in there who's trying to worship. If you go in there and you say, hey, we're interrupting this, we're interfering with people's right and ability to worship, you are guilty of a FACE Act violation. And we've seen this can be serious crimes. Let's see, what else can I get to here before the end of this? Let me go to, we don't have time for this next clip. I'll go to this one here. Don Lemon bites back at MAGA after anti-ICE confrontation is the headline. And just so you know, boys and girls, Don Lemon, apparently a biter. Now that might be some information you need. Not important to me, but apparently a biter.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. So let me just make it clear, because this a assistant attorney general, I don't know, gosh, what's her name? It's something Hammett, Dillon, or whatever. So I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests. Once the protest started in the church, we did an act of journalism, which was report on it and talk to the people who were involved, which included the pastor, members of the church, and members of the organization. That's it. It's called journalism. First Amendment, all that stuff. For all of you people who believe in the First Amendment, absolutist, there you go. So why don't you talk to the actual person who is in charge of the organization and whose idea it was to have the protests at the church before you start blaming me for stuff for which you have no idea. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Now, Don's obviously, did I mention he's an idiot? He is. He thinks he's being very smart there. And first of all, of course, they are going to talk to the head of this organization. And that person is absolutely in real trouble here. Is Don Lemon in trouble here? The First Amendment does provide for a lot of protection for someone who says they're, you know, committing an act of journalism, as he put it, in one of these situations. I mean, you know, look, I think it's an important protection, frankly. We've talked about it before. Now, the left does not think that. They prosecuted all sorts of people. For example, our own Steve Baker for going into the Capitol and documenting what was going on there. They tried to throw him in prison for that. They did it to a lot of people. Now, some people were there and acted, said they were journalists and weren't, but Steve quite clearly was. He's on video. We've talked about that before with him on this particular show. Most likely, he will probably have a good defense there. Now, if they find out that he did know about this and was encouraging it before because they find out in text messages or whatever later on, could be a totally different story. I don't know what Don does in his personal life, and nor do I want to. As I mentioned, he's a biter. But I will say that it is important for people to understand, even if Don Lemon isn't the central part of the charges here, And I do think there's a chance they try to make his life miserable. Because, look, whether you think it's right or wrong, and I tend to think it's not a good idea, but there's very clear things that go on with the process being the punishment. And the Trump administration, when they found people where they can do this sort of stuff to them and say, hey, you're technically in violation, or we think you're technically in violation, we might normally let this go, but this time we're not, they tend to go down those roads. We will see if that continues. But the people who actually organized the protest and went in there are in serious trouble. This is a blatant violation of the law. And we cannot allow this. This is happening over and over and over again, and it has to stop. Hopefully, it will stop soon with charges coming against the people who are guilty of these crimes.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Joined once again by Rob Eno, managing editor of Blaze News. Rob, how's it going?
Very well.
Is it that just because you don't live in Minnesota?
Yes. Yeah. Although it's going to be as icy cold here next week.
That's but, true. Yeah. Cold, hopefully fewer riots. Right. That's what we're hoping for right now. We just went over all the stuff that went on over the weekend. And I don't know. I'm fascinated by Minnesota as really the center of political unrest for 6 years now. I mean, going back to at least George Floyd, I mean, there's been so much stuff that's gone on there. What do you make of this situation and what is going on up there?
It's crazy. I mean, now we have mostly peaceful church stormings.
Right. Yeah, mostly.
Is that what the media is calling them?
That's a thing.
ICE has federal law can be enforced by federal agents.
Mm-hmm.
And the state should not stop federal agents from enforcing federal law. Barack Obama had that lawsuit where he stopped Arizona from trying to enforce immigration law and said, well, the feds are the only people that can do it. Well, the feds are trying to do it. And you have a state openly and actively, their leadership, trying to stop it from happening and basically saying that lawlessness is okay. Mm. And that if you try to stop the lawlessness, you are an authoritarian regime. And the media is lapping it up.
Yeah,
That's exactly what's happening. You know, it started with this. I am not happy that somebody died.
No.
But for my entire life, driving your car towards a police officer or a law enforcement officer has been known as suicide by cop. My entire life, mm-hmm. They have called it suicide by cop. This is not like fun and games. It's not a peaceful protest when you drive a car. And that, I believe that ICE officer had been, like, hospitalized because he had been run over by a car before.
Yeah. I mean, you can understand why he might be a tad sensitive on that. And look, I brought this up before if you didn't catch the show earlier. Just do two things. Look, when you're looking at this video, ask yourself two questions. Were the wheels of that car pointed at the officer when she starts accelerating? The answer to that is yes. Does he have his gun out before she starts accelerating? The answer to that is no. And those two things, I think, are very, very clear and are going to be very central to whatever defense he has to muster, if he has to muster one. Honestly, right now, the DOJ is not really doing much about, not going to be investigating. We'll see if that continues. Let's go to the journalism side of this, though, because, you know, every person who has a cell phone has decided to go to Minneapolis now and is getting lots of footage. Lots of them on the conservative side as well as the left-wing side. Don Lemon there following around protesters with a bunch of other journalists who went into this church and documented what was going on there. Now, we talked to Harmeet Dhillon earlier today. She was, coy about what they were planning on doing, but indicated she did not necessarily see this particular, she used a generic version of the Don Lemon case to talk about the Don Lemon case, but did not see this as an act of journalism and seemed to think that there was more to it than that. Is that true, or should we be excited about this?
I don't know if they're going to do anything. They haven't done anything with any of this stuff anyways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the part that's, but I would warn people on both sides, conservative journalists with cell phones, mm-hmm. you know, cosplaying as, you know, war reporters with flak vests and things like that, and the left-wing ones, do not become the story yourself. Do not provocate things to happen so you can get video. And I think a lot of times on both sides, that seems to happen, right? We had Chris Rufo, who's on Blaze News. They were out there in Minneapolis last week, and we had video teams there, and our guys went and just asked everybody questions. And we had people from the left come up and want to talk to us and give us diatribes, and we had people from the right that wanted to talk. You know, we just went and were journalists and documented what was happening, right? And that's, if you do that, I think you're fine. I think you crossed the line when, you know, you said, ask the question, right? You said, were the wheels turned towards the guy? Yes. Did he have the gun out before? No. The New York Times did like a Zapruder film analysis.
Oh, it's driving me nuts.
Frame by frame, stop motion to see the thing. Mm. That's activism. It's not journalism.
Yeah.
And everybody on the left is using that. Well, see, no, this is exactly what happened. Now, I will say there is a problem if it's true that they stopped medics from getting to her.
Mm-hmm.
That is a problem.
That's not proven.
But
that is, that's been accused.
That has been accused. If that happened, that might be where they get into trouble, right? The ICE. And I would be for that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've shot somebody and the situation is diffused, you should allow medics to come in to try it.
It's funny to hear you say this, Rob, because I mentioned this to somebody the other day. I think I even talked about it on the show a little bit. I have heard that type of take from a lot of people on the right. And what you just said was you feel bad about this person dying. Yep. You wish it didn't happen. You are interested in criticism of ICE if facts pop up that prove that they are guilty. That's a nuanced look at this. I have not heard one time from anyone on the left any nuance in this issue. They can't even seem to bring up the idea that accelerating at an officer is a bad idea. They can't even bring up that concept. Why is it just our side that seems to look at these things and at least attempts to understand them?
I don't get it, because we get accused of being activists and not journalists a lot, right? That's what, you know, oh, you work for the Blaze. Of course,
you say that. We have opinions, yeah.
Right, we have opinions. The mainstream news media is supposed to be objective and biased, and they are unbiased, and they are not. Mm. Because they have shown time and time again that they are saying that ICE is wrong in every single instance. I mean, they stormed a church because they thought the pastor might work for ICE.
Right. It wasn't even the right pastor, right? And
right.
We don't know if this guy even works for ICE, the other pastor. So even which is common. We saw, showed the videos. The guy who's taking his hoodie off, is forced to take his hoodie off as he's walking on the street. A guy who's like delivering like equipment. They think he's an ICE agent because he drives an SUV, and they start yelling at him. And this is happening all over the place. They don't even have their facts straight. When
right, we have reporters being mugged.
Yeah.
And was it Nick Sorter? I think got mugged. And then the police said, oh, you know, you were just in the wrong neighborhood. And you've
that's
got
not how our law works.
Yeah, and you've got Minnesota state reps. I think a Somalian American Minnesota state rep that's saying, well, there should just be no-go zones in the United States, like there are in Europe, that they say that don't exist, but we know they exist. I mean, that is not the United States of America, and I think it's people like I think Tim Walz wants this.
Yeah,
I think Tim Walz resigned like a day too early. Said he wasn't going to run again, because then this all blows up, right? And he's trying to be like the hero. But, I mean, he has basically called for open rebellion against the United States of America. Yeah. And the media is taking his side.
I listened to a podcast the other day, and there was a guy who was a resident of a neighborhood. And he was like, hey, yeah, you know, ICE is out here, and we're against them. And you know, they tried to come for my neighbor, but we were able to hold them off. What do you mean you were able to hold them off? These are federal law enforcement officials. There's no holding them off. Like, you know, that's an argument you can make in court later on to say whether, you know, maybe charges were wrong or whatever. But like these people are out there and they're cosplaying an actual war. They all think that they're warriors because they're on Twitter or they're on Blue Sky, criticizing ICE. And then they get out there and you saw the face of that woman before she got shot. That's the part that hit me the most. Was watching her, she just thought this was a silly thing. You know, like, I mean, yeah, she was crazy, and yeah, she's a leftist, and yeah, she was trying to do all these things. But, like, to her, it was just, like, sarcastic, like, I'm going to be a wise ass and say nasty things to these officers because I'm a badass. And she wound up paying with her life. That's Twitter in real life.
And that's what they're training these people to do.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely horrendous. I mean, these are, we talk about NGOs and I don't know if you really call this an NGO, but nonprofits and, yeah, and organizations that train these people as be, you know, as supporting domestic terrorism. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I think there is a case to possibly be made.
Yeah.
That they are training people. And this driving cars into ICE agents didn't just happen in Minneapolis. It's happened all over the country.
All over the place, yep.
It's like their standard operating procedure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's shocking. Before you go, though, I do want to hit maybe the more important thing of the day. I can't have you on without you being able to gloat over your New England Patriots going to yet another AFC championship.
14 in 25 years.
Yeah.
That's, only 14 in 25 years. It was a long five-year drought.
Yeah, it was.
A five-year drought.
Very impressive, first of all. I know you called it. You were on them early as at least a contender for this, turning around a couple of really rough seasons. First of all, you feel free to gloat. And also, Sean McDermott fired from the Bills is pretty shocking as well. A lot of news in your division.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's funny. We've been going to this Patriots meetup group here in Dallas. Yeah. And, you know, there were weeks when we had four of us and five of us over the past 3 or 4 years. And there were like 50 people. And I went to one of the waitresses. Yeah. I'm like, well, this is a lot different than a couple years ago, huh? When there was like four of us sitting upstairs at the upstairs bar.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's a Packers bar and they're gone. They're out. And we just basically took over their bar. And it was fantastic. I mean, it's the defense. I mean, Drake May is good.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look great the past couple games, but he's good. Receivers are outstanding. That Kayshon Booty, you got mossed, catch in the end zone. I think you got mossed is done for the year, but I don't think he'll be in there. But that secondary for two straight weeks made two really good quarterbacks look like they were in fear of their life.
Yeah, I just...
Herbert and C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud, if you were to get up to the line and spike the ball on every down, according to FanDuel, you would have a 39.8 quarterback rating.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud's was 28.
God, that's terrible. I mean, he looked, I don't know if it was the weather. I mean, he hasn't played great since his rookie year, but still, he's been better than that. I mean, he looked terrible in that game.
Yeah, I mean,
tough.
But it's good. I mean, I think I feel bad for Bo Nix.
What's your reaction to the Buffalo situation?
I mean, if you can't get to the Super Bowl and you keep losing, they've got to find something. There's obviously something wrong with McDermott where he can't get there. Now there's, you know, Bills fans saying, well, you know, they're not giving Josh the people around him that he needs. So that's really a general manager thing.
That seems, I'm surprised they're keeping him on because it seems like maybe clearing house was the right move here.
Right. I think it is. I mean, and, you know, Josh Allen's there for four more years. He's there till 2030. He's probably a little upset that he signed that contract now. but, you know, it's... McDermott just can't get it done. You can either win or you can't. Like, I've got a thing with quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think as a quarterback you should get into the Hall of Fame unless you won a Super Bowl with your team.
Mm.
So I don't think Dan Marino should be a Hall of Fame quarterback because he did not win a Super Bowl with his team. He couldn't win a big game. That was McDermott's problem.
Mm. I don't know if I agree with you on Marino, but I see what you're saying there. It's the most important thing you're trying to do.
Right.
That's interesting. Now the only coach outside of your team left or in that division is the Jets.
Right. Because it was his first year. Because they weren't going to pull a Gerard Mayo on him. They're like, we'll give you 2 years.
We'll give you 2 years. So. Fascinating. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I am devastated that my poor Eagles just completely folded.
But it was a great troll from your Nick Foles.
Yeah. Nick Foles was awesome.
He was awesome. Where he said, you know, Patriots don't always beat the backup quarterback in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's fair. And I will say, Eagles still Super Bowl champs for a few more weeks. Remember that.
Exactly.
Still defending champs at this kind of moment. Robbie Eno, managing editor of Blaze News. A little football talk there at the end. Hey, look, we could talk about Minneapolis the whole time, but we're gonna want to light ourselves on fire if we continue to do that. So, Rob, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll be right back. Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
One thing we talked about a few times is I've been watching these. I watch a lot of car reviews on YouTube every once in a while when I'm like bored before bed, and I'm just kind of flipping through car reviews. And they've been starting to review more of these Chinese electric vehicles. And I've never driven one. I don't know, but I will say some of the technology appears to be really significant and impressive. To the fact of like, I wonder if we're starting to actually not have the best of that market in this country. We've basically blocked Chinese electric vehicles from coming into the country through massive, 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 massive tariffs that were actually put on during the Biden administration, and I think have been upped since Trump came into office as well. Anyway, Chinese electric vehicles are now making inroads in America. Experts are worried. The reason for this, it seems to be because we have been getting in this fight with Canada over tariffs and going back and forth with them. Canada finally just said, all right, well, if you guys are going to do this to us, then we're going to start dealing with China. Now, it says something about Canada. Glenn went through a kind of a longer explanation as to the dynamic there, which is problematic. But bottom line is they're going to start importing a bunch of these cars into Canada. And once they're there, they're likely to be here. And that is going to be a significant development for our auto market. If people start seeing these things and they are as good as advertised, maybe they're not. But that could be something that's a massive situation with our auto industry. We'll get into that here more as that develops. The dollar dented as Trump tariff threats drive investors into safe havens. I will say we're at that point where we're just sitting here waiting for the Supreme Court. It's like, get to it, guys. Like, get to it. You know, Trump is like, no, we're going to put new tariffs on Greenland, and every country that doesn't agree with us on Greenland is going to get tariffed, and they're adding all this stuff on. And we just don't know. It could be as early as tomorrow that all of this gets overturned. The Supreme Court is going to have a ruling on whether IEEPA, which is this Economic Emergency Protective Act that is available to the president for certain things, does not mention tariffs anywhere in the act. Trump has used it to say that tariffs are part of it. We will see what the Supreme Court says. I've been looking at some of the prediction markets. There's about a 70% chance these things get overturned, according if you believe the markets or the common knowledge or common common sense belief, at least. From the markets these days. I don't know what's going to happen here. I think there's a good chance it will get overturned. I think if the right thing is, honestly, it would be. But we don't know. And until that happens, all this stuff is just out there. Like, he's just doing all this stuff, and we have no idea whether it's going to stand or not. It's impossible to have any certainty. I'd like to just know either way, frankly, at this point. And finally, before we leave, Josh Shapiro says he's got a new book out. Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. He says Kamala Harris's vetting team asked whether he was an agent of the Israeli government, because, as you know, all Jews work together. So that's a good question for your vetting team Kamala. I mean, look, Kamala's a moron, and I don't know that she put this in there. We don't know. But you have to understand that one of the big concerns of the Democrats was they didn't want to piss off the Hamas part of their party, the pro-Hamas wing of the Democratic Party, who tends to do things like we saw at the church, as we started the show with, storming, making major protests, interrupting events. They didn't want that happening before their convention. So they were like, maybe we shouldn't bring a Jew onto the ticket. That's basically what happened, and that's my reporting. No, but it's pretty much well known that that's why they did this, or at least a good chunk as to why they did this. And, of course, Kamala kind of bashed Shapiro in her book, now Shapiro's Revenge, with her making her look kind of anti-Semitic, potentially, in his book. So lots of fun on the day. If you thought it was only the Republican side that was dysfunctional, I've got news for you. It's definitely on the other side in spades as well. Okay, so here's what happened. Everyone wants to go on a good vacation every once in a while. Right? Especially, I mean, think about the news that we talked about today. It'd be nice to kind of get away a little bit. If you happen to be a person who is interested in a real getaway, you may want to get on this list. You could now pay up to $1 million to reserve a hotel stay on the moon. Yes, here's the facility. This is what they're going to build out, apparently, up on the moon somewhere. It looks kind of like a White House up on the moon. And you can go and you can stay there. The interior looks relatively luxurious, very, very nice. I will say it will not cover your entire stay on the moon. That's actually going to be more like $10 million a night. So check that out. The good thing, though, is it starts in 2031. So they only hold your $1 million till then. And you can go up first in an inflatable structure, which sounds delightful.